at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U, 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
The Florida Keys have reopened to residents, and now they'll reopen to visitors this Sunday, 3 weeks after they were struck by Hurricane Irma. It's the target date that was set last week by Governor Rick Scott. Officials do advise potential visitors to the Keys to still call ahead to ensure that hotels and attractions are indeed open. Some hotels are accommodating displaced residents under a FEMA program, and recovery efforts are ongoing in the Keys, especially in the lower Keys and parts of Marathon, where many residences and businesses were hardest hit by the storm. In New York City, Todd Frazier says the toddler hit in the head by his 105-mile-an-hour foul ball at Yankee Stadium last week is improving and could be out of the hospital before today is over.
The Yankees third baseman says he's been keeping in touch with the little girl's dad and plans to meet with the family. Frazier says he's been praying for the toddler since last Thursday's incident.
It is something that I wish never happened.
It was the third time this season a fan has been hit by a ball. The Yanks said last month they're considering adding extra safety netting between the dugouts closest to home plate. MLB issued guidelines nearly 2 years ago recommending that. A number of teams have complied, including the Mets. Sarah Lee Kessler, New York.
And the Marine Corps' first female infantry officer ready for duty. The woman whose identity is being kept private graduated yesterday after finishing the 13-week training course last week. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
The time is 10:05. It's time for Huntington Chamber Radio weather. Flying in right now, 72 degrees, partly cloudy skies, no rain in the forecast for today. It is Tuesday, September 26th, and we'll have a mix of clouds and sun and a high of 84, winds light and variable. Partly cloudy and a low of 64 for tonight, winds light and variable. And tomorrow, more autumnal weather. Partly cloudy skies and a slight chance of a rain shower with a high near 85, winds light and variable. Thursday, mainly sunny, 75. Friday, mainly sunny, 72. Saturday, the last day of September, partly cloudy skies during the morning hours will give way to occasional showers in the afternoon, a high of 70, chance of rain 50%. And first day of October, sunny skies, a high of 72. Temperatures in our area, 72 in Raritan, 70 in Amwells, 74 in Kingwood, 68 in Frenchtown, 72 in Allentown, 78 up in Asbury, 75 in Washington Township, 73 in Tewksbury. That is Huntington Chamber Radio weather.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Huntington Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@huntington-chamber.org.
Welcome do tech today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Chris Bianco. I'm a principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Blue Panther Business Partners offers practical advice and hands-on assistance to the business owner who never has time for his or her business. We do that by accomplishing your wish list. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology so that consumers seeking solutions for personal or business use can be better informed when making purchasing decisions or hiring individuals to carry out technological decisions. Each week, I'll focus on topics about technology. Segments will include technological news, the latest apps, buying advice for hardware and software, and answering your questions. To contact me during this show, go to Tech Today on Facebook and message me there. You can email me at goodmorning@huntingchamberradio.com. Studio phone number 908-237-0410. And if you want to reach me outside of the business, outside of the show, at my business, go to my website, bluepantherbiz.com. Well, we have plenty of things to chat about. There's a plethora of technology news that's out there. And we'll get right to it. The first one is there's a Windows update that's coming, and you might experience, this came out on September 25th, on TechnoBuffalo.com. Sean P. Ayun on September 25th says, some Microsoft account users are finding that the September update is being less than kind to them. If you're still using Windows 8.1 and you have automatic updates turned on, you may have found that you can't log into your system using your Microsoft account. Don't worry, you're not alone. Apparently, the September update, known as KB4038792, is the culprit. According to Computer World, a Microsoft employee stated this is a Microsoft Answers support forum earlier this month. This is on the support forum. It says, this is a known bug in Windows 8.1 after the latest September update. Our support engineers are already looking into it and doing their best to resolve it as quickly and as possible so as to minimize the inconvenience to our customers. We'll keep you updated via this thread once a bug fix has been released. Microsoft is reportedly working on a fix, but no timeline has been stated as of yet. For now, you can log in with a local account, but not everyone has set one up. There may also be some software you need for Microsoft account for which could be impacted. As more and more reports keep building up, Microsoft isn't saying much. There is currently no timeline on a fix, and if you're locked out of your computer, even a day is going to be feeling like an eternity. Once again, we continue to rush things out, and there's always a consequence. I know firsthand when you are rushing to beat some type of either competitor or you're rushing to beat some threat that you might not pay attention to all the other things you need to do, and voila, all of a sudden you have a problem. Microsoft continues to be in the news. This is on future releases. Came out on September 26th, and it's on The Verge. It says Microsoft is releasing Office 2019 next year. Tom Warren is the author, and he says Microsoft is announcing its next major release of Office today at Ignite in Orlando with a planned release for next year. Office 2019 is arriving in the second half of 2018. Will include the usual Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and Outlook client apps, alongside server versions of Exchange, SharePoint, and Skype for business. Microsoft is planning to release preview copies of Office 2019 in the middle of 2018, and the software is primarily designed for organizations that aren't using the cloud Office 365 versions. Office 2019 will include better IT capabilities for businesses that aren't using Office 365, and new ink features like pressure sensitivity, tilt effects, and ink replay. Excel will also include new formulas and charts for data analysis, and PowerPoint will pick up the morph and zoom animation features that Office 365 customers are currently taking advantage of. Microsoft says it will share more on Office 2019 in the coming months. But for now, it sounds like if you're in Office 365, you'll still have the most up-to-date features. So there you have it. 2019 is coming. And I don't know. Unless there's something really significant, there really isn't a lot of excitement that goes into it. I was not very happy when Office went to 365 and was in the cloud. I'm not a cloud guy. I don't want my documents up there. I don't want to deal with Microsoft having their hands on my stuff. So I've always had stuff on the programs on my computer. So it's a challenge, no doubt. And who knows? At some point, I might be moving off and going to something else. But right now, Microsoft still is dominant in the Office software category. So until somebody steps up and challenges them, it's going to be difficult. There are options out there. OpenOffice is still out there. I think that's an Oracle product. Google has Docs and Sheet, which is also a possibility. But it's hard to make that transition from the user interface that that Microsoft has created for so many years. So there you have it. It is 10:15, and it's time for us to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more of Good Morning Hunterdon in just a few minutes.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Hunterdon County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off at Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunterdon Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh, yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterdon Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to WHCR-DB's Tech Today on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. You know, we always look for models. We always look for people in the news that we, I don't know if some people look up to, others simply understand the person's celebrity and perhaps an endorsement, a celebrity endorsement is a tipping point. But when a technology person makes a technological decision, and it goes against a philosophy that that person has created at one point, it opens your eyes. So what am I talking about? Well, there's an article here in BBC.com. It says, Bill Gates has switched to Android. Now, bear in mind that there's Windows phones out there. There are phones with Windows operating system on them. Bill Gates has decided to go with Android. Recently, I actually did switch to an Android phone, he said, speaking on Fox News on Sunday. Microsoft's own Windows-powered phones have failed to make a significant impact on the smartphone market, which is dominated by devices running Google's Android operating system. However, Mr. Gates said he has installed lots of Microsoft apps on his phone. When asked whether he has also had an iPhone, perhaps as a secondary device, he replied, no, no iPhone. He did not reveal which particular smartphone he currently uses. Microsoft struggled to make a success of its own mobile operating system, Windows Phone. In 2014, the software giant paid $7.2 billion for Nokia's handset business, but Windows-powered phones accounted for fewer than 1% of global smartphone sales. Microsoft's latest operating system, Windows 10, can power smartphones in addition to laptops, tablets, and desktop computers. However, few Windows 10 smartphones have been released. In April, Microsoft started selling customized versions of Samsung's Galaxy 8 smartphone in U.S. stores. Microsoft's strategy under its current chief executive, Satya Nadella, is to make Microsoft apps and services widely available on Android and iPhone. This is reported by Ian Fogg, an analyst on the tech consultancy IHS Market. Quote, that's where their customers are these days. The Microsoft Edition phone comes with the firm's apps such as Office, Outlook, Email, and Voice Assistant Cortana. It used to be putting the Windows operating system on everyone's phone was a priority, but now it's about selling services such as Office and Outlook Email, said Mr. Fogg. To do that, you have to make those services available on every device. So that's a warning to you. If you have a Windows phone and you're planning on continuing with that, you're not going to necessarily receive the support that you're looking for. It's going to pass you by. Technology is going to pass you by. And at some point, Microsoft is, if things don't improve, going to drop its product launch and support. So you're going to have to make a decision, Windows phone users, whether you're going to Apple, iOS, or you're going to Android. And so it's going to be a challenge. So you're going to have to start making a decision. So normally you have 2-year contract. If anybody has bought a Windows phone in the last month or two, then you have a full 2 years. Anybody who's bought it prior to that, it's time to start making your plans. Where would you like to go? Well, one of them is, how about Google Pixel 2? The Google Pixel and Pixel XL has been out for a couple of years. In fact, I was eyeing a Google Pixel XL until Samsung Note 8 came out, and then I had to go with my heart, and this, I am not disappointed by making that Note 8 choice. But Google Pixel 2, Google Pixel XL was my backup plan, and I had a sneaking suspicion that there was going to be a Pixel 2 or an upgrade coming in the near future, because you could see the price drops that were happening on Google Pixel. So CNET reports that what I want in a Google Pixel 2, Lin La reports on the 26th, the headphone jack, waterproofing, here's what I want in the next Pixel. Thanks to a major leak, we can say that 99.9% certainty that Google will announce the Pixel 2 and Pixel 2 XL in addition to other devices next week during its October 4th event. When Google's flagship first launched last year, the device impressed us with its camera prowess and introduction of Google Assistant, which is now available on several Android phones. However, there's always room for improvement. Below is my personal wish list for what I want in the next Pixel. It's not everything Google can possibly add, just my own preferences. In the meantime, let us know what you'd like to see. Removable battery, a sharper display, new design in the next Pixel. Thanks to the recent Pixel leak, it doesn't look like the phones will get dual rear cameras. This is a letdown since it'll be the only major phone not to have dual camera capabilities, and its single lens portrait mode tool on the original Pixel wasn't very good. But Google can make up for this if it improves the camera in other ways. Back when the Pixel first launched, it had one of the best shooters around, and I was particularly impressed by how well it handled low-light environments. Since then, however, there have been a handful of phones that also take great pictures in dim lighting, like the OnePlus 5, the HTC UTI, U11, the iPhone 8 Plus, and the 8. Also have really strong cameras, so Google better step up its game. With this next iteration, I'd like to see the Pixel add optical image stabilization for video recording, smooth out its lens blur feature for portraits, though that may be difficult given the aforementioned single lens, and improve its close-up macro shots so they're even sharper. If there's only a one single lens camera, now I'm really happy I waited and got the Note 8, quite honestly. Headphone jack, current rumors speculate that Google may go the way of Apple and Motorola and drop the headphone jack from the Pixels. I really, really hope that isn't true, though ditching it would help with waterproofing and having a thin design. I can easily understand why this would be a deal breaker for some. If it were abandoned, I myself don't want to be forced to listen to my music with wireless headphones. Give the wired headphones I already love, and I especially don't want to have to remember a dongle every time I go somewhere with my phone. It's a feature nobody asked to get rid of, and I'd hate to see it go on the Pixel. I like, personally, Bluetooth, although it has its quirks. So having the headset jack is nice, and there are so many different accessories, third-party accessories that utilize the headphone jack. I'm not happy with that either at this particular moment. Water resistance, what used to be a nice-to-have feature, is quickly becoming a need-to-have for high-end phones, especially since many flagships like Apple and Samsung have all been water-resistant for a couple years now. In order to remain competitive, I hope the Pixel is waterproof too. It means that Google is keeping up with its rivals, and you'll have extra peace of mind with your phone now that it can endure a dunk underwater. Wireless charging. I don't know if it's exactly kosher to bring up Nexus history, since Google wants to distinguish its Pixel line as its own thing. But Google has sold wireless charging phones before, with the Nexus 4 in 2012 and the Nexus 5 and 6 after. So when it got rid of it in the Nexus 5X and 6P in 2015, it was a bummer. Setting your phone down on a charging pad rather than fumbling with a charging cable is pretty convenient, and it'd be useful to see the feature in the next Pixel. And unlike getting rid of the headphone jack, it wouldn't require any sort of dongle to work with previous chargers. And while I'm wishing for battery-related things, I'd love to see a bump in the phone's battery life. Last year, both Pixel models lasted about 13 to 14 hours during our lab tests for continuous video playback. These days, phones including the Galaxy S8, OnePlus 5, and the iPhone 8 Plus last more than 15 to 16 hours, easy. If the new Pixels can clock those times in, I mean fewer trips to the charger. Google's Pixel announcement will be the first major phone launch of the season after Samsung's LG and Apple. To keep up on the latest news, stay tuned to CNET, where we'll be covering the October 4th event. And after I get that information, I'll be happy to provide that to you. Doesn't sound like the Pixel 2 is going to be very drastic, but who knows? Google might be having a lot of stuff hidden and keeping the leaks down, so we'll find out, and I'll certainly pass that along to you. But it's certainly making me feel pretty good about my choice at the moment with the Note 8. We're going to take another break. It's news time, and we'll be right back right after the news. You're listening to Tech Today, and we're on WHCRDB, Hunting Chamber Radio.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
As a national dialogue continues about the national anthem and what pro athletes do when it's played, Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones says he wanted to find a way to show unity with his players.
And at the same time, respect the flag.
That's why Jones says he and his players and coaches briefly took a knee before the anthem was played, before the Monday night game in Arizona, standing back up and locking arms for the anthem itself. President Trump noting in a tweet that when the Cowboys dropped to their knees, it drew the very loudest boo he's ever heard, though Trump went on to recognize that the team then did stand up for the anthem. The Cardinals, meanwhile, simply stood with arms locked before and during the song.
If I were a major insurance company, I'd hate my bill because I take money and power away from you and I give it to the states.
Despite co-author Lindsey Graham's best attempts at selling it at a Monday hearing, reports are the latest GOP health care bill doesn't have the votes needed to pass. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root, otherwise known as War. You hear my national radio show, War Now, the Wayne Allyn Root Show, every day on USA Radio Network at 6 p.m. Eastern, as well as my national TV show, War Now, on Newsmax TV every day at 8 p.m. Eastern time. But I'm everywhere leading the conservative fight on Fox News, on hundreds of radio shows as a guest, writing books like Angry White Male, my newspaper columns, even on CNN. I'm a conservative warrior fighting for conservatism, capitalism, American exceptionalism, and Judeo-Christian values. And of course, I will always be the fiercest defender in the media for my great President Donald J. Trump. But it all starts at my website, RootForAmerica.com. You'll find the hottest stories, news headlines, my passionate, in-your-face, take-no-prisoners, conservative commentaries, and popular videos. The left will win this war over my cold, dead body. So every day, start your day with the news and opinions that matter to conservatives and patriots at my site, RootForAmerica.com, or listen to my radio show at USAradio.com, or watch my TV show at NewsmaxTV.com. Above all, be sure to root for America.
Welcome back to Tech Today, and we're on HuntingChamberRadio.com, which is our call letters WHCRDB for digital broadcasting. More tech news that I'm going to pass along to you for the next half hour. And a lot of it has to do with iPhones and our phones in general, not just iPhones. Apple is making a change. This is ironic. Drops Bing for Google on Siri and Mac OS searches. David Lum of Out on a Lum in Engadget wrote this article yesterday. It says, Apple has ditched Bing in favor of Google for results when searching the internet with Siri on iOS or Spotlight on macOS. It will finish rolling out this afternoon, according to TechCrunch, a switchover that was likely timed to sync with today's release of macOS High Sierra. Google will provide general internet links and videos, but Bing will still give image search results for now. The switch likely came due to the search giant paying billions of dollars to remain the default engine on Apple's devices, although the latter is just as interested in maintaining consistency and quality with user searches. So I've heard a lot of great things about the new iOS 11. A lot of folks are very happy with it. But it's interesting that this change has been made. So Microsoft's Bing is dropping down a peg, according to the Apple world, and Google is now the default. Also dealing with phones, let's see what else I have here. Instagram, this is on TechCrunch, published today by Daryl Etherington. Instagram now lets you choose who can comment on your posts. Instagram is celebrating its milestone of reaching 800 million users on the platform and 500 million using it daily. With new comment moderation tools that make it easy to silence anyone being potentially offensive. The new comment tools mean that if you have a public account on Instagram, you can limit comments to specific groups of people, including your followers or people you follow. Plus, both public and private account holders will be able to block accounts from commenting on their posts. This is a part of an ongoing effort to help curb abuse on the platform, and Instagram is also updating the automated filter to block especially offensive comments today with new tools that cover Arabic, French, German, and Portuguese language content. It was English only at introduction. The company says that this will also continue to improve with time and use, which makes sense since it's powered by machine learning. The company also expanded a feature it launched in May that is designed to help users in need of help and resources related to mental illness. If you're on Instagram and you witness someone in need of help via a live broadcast, you can now report it anonymously, and Instagram will send them a message with an offer to help and access to a helpline and other resources. This program launched in May with a focus on standard posts, but now expands to live video too. So Instagram is being very interactive and proactive in trying to help people, because that's where we're learning about a lot of these folks who are distressed or are sending out messages of suicidal tendencies. The abuse that comes on with people who are abusing people mentally and verbally is crazy. So it's nice that you have some control over that. Interesting that Instagram is at 500 million users a day. As you are well aware, now Instagram is part of Facebook. Facebook has 2 billion users, not all daily, but 2 billion accounts. So Instagram is definitely growing in its popularity and continues to show the visual aspects of social media. Which brings me over to The Verge reports that Vimeo has acquired Livestream and launches new streaming platform. It just acquired the video broadcasting provider Livestream. Lizzie Plowjik reported on the 26th, which is today. Vimeo has added live streaming tools to its video platform for the first time with the launch of Vimeo Live. Customers will be able to stream live from anywhere, and videos will be automatically archived when the events are finished. Each live stream video will feature a chat sidebar. Live streaming is the number one request from our creative community this year, and we're focused on bringing a new level of quality, convenience, and craft to this evolving medium, Vimeo CEO Anjali Sud said in a statement. The feature, however, will not be that useful to a large portion of Vimeo's creator community. Sud told Variety that Vimeo Live is not a consumer-level product, and that it'll cost $75 a month. In addition to launching Vimeo Live, the company just announced an agreement to acquire Livestream, a live video technology company. Once the deal is closed, Vimeo says Vimeo Live will be integrated into the service's main platform. Until then, Vimeo Live will exist as a standalone platform. The service does not support mobile streaming yet, but Vimeo says it will once the live stream deal is closed. Company has been stalling behind the competitors when it comes to embracing live streaming tools. YouTube launched mobile live streaming back in 2016, as did Facebook and Instagram. It is definitely the way of the world. I'm struggling still to understand. Video is definitely a strong medium. And if you're showing things on video, you definitely have a leg up. What's interesting to me is we've broadcasting on audio, and it's less bandwidth intensive. We're working on here at Hunt Chamber Radio the ability to live stream our shows. The intent is not necessarily to show things in a video format, although some of our hosts are looking forward to that. The intent is simply because people see somehow desire to have video in front of them, even though you might be able to do something and listen to the audio broadcast at the same time. I find it remarkable that people would prefer the video content and being engaged more. But if that's what the people want, that's what we're going to deliver. So we're working on that as we speak. So I don't know. I have plenty of platforms to choose from. I'm not sure what our best option is going to be. We definitely want to archive. And so I got to investigate now. At one time, we only had one choice. Now I have a lot. And I need to make sure we come up with the right one for a long-term solution. New things that are coming about our way are these devices, these interactive devices, such as Alexa. Amazon adds Alexa voice control to the Amazon Music app. This came out on TechCrunch and was posted 15 minutes ago by Sarah Perez, and says that Amazon today is bringing Alexa to the Amazon Music app on iOS and Android, allowing listeners to use voice controls with their music. The feature is available in the US, UK, Germany, and Australia, the company says, and will let users do things like request a song, artist, or music for various activities or moods, like road trips or running, same as you can do with Alexa on Echo speakers. You can also ask Alexa to play songs where you don't know the name of the track, but only the lyrics, another option Echo owners have had for some time. Playing music is one of the top use cases for Alexa-powered Echo speakers, along with other day-to-day tasks like asking for the weather, the news, or setting timers and reminders. So it makes sense that Amazon would want to offer similar voice controls in its native music app. The move to introduce Alexa in the Amazon Music app also offers Amazon a way to differentiate its third-place app from the market leaders, Spotify and Apple Music. While Apple Music works with Siri, it's designed for those already in Apple's ecosystem who listen on their iPhone, Apple Music, or Android. However, it doesn't have a voice control option. This is not the first time that Amazon has expanded Alexa to its mobile applications. The company earlier this year added Alexa to its main shopping app on iOS, and later this summer brought the feature to users of the Amazon app in Android. The larger goal here is to give Amazon a way to introduce Alexa and the virtual assistant's capability to those who have not yet invested in an Echo device, allowing them to test out Alexa and grow comfortable using voice commands. Putting Alexa into Amazon's suite of apps is a good way to offer a demo to those potentially interested in buying the Echo. After all, if they're already using Amazon Music to stream their favorite tunes, they're probably more likely to consider an Echo speaker over the Google Home or Apple's forthcoming HomePod. Amazon says the Alexa integration will be available in the latest version of the Amazon Music app for iOS and Android, which means you'll need to update if you have an older version of the app installed. Not too long ago, when we were kind of reviewing these assistants and these speakers, these interactive speakers, I had suggested, before you do that, why don't you interact with your phone or your computer, because they have the same capability. And so now Amazon is basically suggesting that, or actually imposing that, so that you feel comfortable and get comfortable with that option. There you have it. Let's see what else is going on. Well, I'm going to get to that in just a minute. Let's see. I got iPhone. Apple explains which adapters will fast charge the iPhone 8. This is on Mashable. And I guess this is a confusing aspect of the new iPhone 8, whether you have a fast charge or not. It says, yes, new iPhone 8 and 8 Plus support fast charging. No, don't get this functionality out of the box. You need to purchase a separate charger. But it doesn't have to be an original Apple charger. According to Apple's support page, matter first spotted by Mac Rumors, you can use a comparable third-party USB-C power adapter as long as it's certified for USB power delivery. The page doesn't mention for iPhone X, but it's safe to assume that the above is valid for it as well. To check whether a third-party charger will work with one of the new iPhones, read the information that's usually written on the adapter itself. It should say USB PD somewhere on there, and the other specs should be similar to ones on Apple's Type-C USB power adapters, which there's a picture here. All right, it's time for me to take a break. You listen to Tech Today, and we're on HunchimerRitter.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Hunterdon County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off at Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunterdon Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterdon Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee. Tech Today on HuntChipRadar.com. Still more news to go over technology. It's just rampant this week. Lots of things being released. Lots of things happening. And, well, the biggest one right now is Equifax. And the Equifax CEO is stepping down in the wake of the massive data breach. Why is it that after there's a disaster, the CEO gets to walk away, and usually they don't walk away empty-handed? Why is that? So The Verge reports that, and the poster is Colin Lecker on the 26th, says that following the massive cybersecurity breach at the company, the CEO of Equifax is stepping down. Earlier this month, the credit reporting agency disclosed that a hack had endangered the personal information of 143 million U.S.-based users, an incident that has led to a swell of criticism towards the company. In a statement, the now former CEO, Richard Smith, called serving in the job an honor. He had worked at the position since 2005. The cybersecurity incident has affected millions of consumers, and I have been completely dedicated to making this right, Smith said in the statement. At this critical juncture, I believe it is in the best interests of the company to have new leadership to move the company forward. The company says it has installed an interim CEO, Paulino Dorigo Barros Jr., as it searches for a permanent replacement. Smith's departure followed two other executive exits. Earlier this month, Equifax said its chief information officer and chief security officer were also stepping down. Gee, that's a surprise. The scale of the data breach, the United States has a total population of about 320 million, and the breached data included Social Security numbers, has resulted in a unique public anger towards the company and toward credit reporting agencies in general. Since its disclosure of the incident, reports have suggested the hack may have happened earlier than was publicly known, but the company has also made missteps in the open, including directing hack victims to a phishing site. Although the flight of executives is a means to show contrition for the incident, the company may still face consequences from regulators. The FTC has confirmed that it is investigating the circumstances of the breach. Oh, my goodness. I continue to marvel at how we have this saved data all over the place, and it's out of our hands. The only people who are concerned about our data is us. Everybody means well, but there's too many things that go wrong, and I continue to fear where we're going with all this. What can you do? Well, you're going to have to keep monitoring your credit reports. You're going to have to check the Social Security. The IRS is going to step up its game. I've already been in the midst of that in previous audits. They've brought me in to verify my own personal identity because apparently somebody else had tried to use my Social Security number and the IRS had caught it. So I thanked them for that. So you're going to have to be vigilant about watching what's going on, and I suggest you put some type of notifications on your credit for any type of reports that are made on you about your credit. If somebody's trying to establish a credit card on your behalf for you or with you using your information. So best to do something like that. Is it tragic? No, it's not tragic. It's just unfortunate, and there'll be a few unfortunate, really terribly gruesome victims that will come out of this. For the most part, it's just going to be a nuisance, but that's the way it is nowadays. All of our stuff is captured everywhere, and so that's why I try and limit everything that I have going out to certain people and certain companies, and crazy that this happens. What else do we have? And we're back to the interactive speakers. Engadget reports that Google Home adds reminders to its voice control repertoire. So one speaker has reminders. Now another one has jumped on the bandwagon. Rob Lefevre wrote this in Home. He says, you can already use Google Home to order from Walmart, watch CBS All Access on your TV, and hear daily news updates from former VP Joe Biden. Now Google has just updated Home with the ability to set reminders with your voice. The company confirmed Engadget that English reminders would start rolling out Monday to the U.S., U.K., Australia, and Canada. French is coming soon. Google Home users can now set one-off and recurring reminders daily or weekly, and even set reminders for months down the road. Google Assistant also understands context. If you ask it to remind you to walk the dog at 6 while you're getting ready for bed, for example, it will know to set the reminder for 6 a.m. Reminders you set on Google Home will also notify your Android phone as long as it's running Android M+. In addition, if you have more than one user on Google Home, you'll only hear reminders for you. Sure, Alexa has had this feature since June, and Apple's Siri has done the same thing for years, though only on your iPhone. But it's good for those who opted for Home instead of one of Google's competitors. You can check out all the details on Google Home's support page, including how to check and update your Android version on your phone, set up multiple Home users, setting and managing reminders, and how to deal with reminder notifications on Home or your handset. And lastly, I remind you that there is something called Thumbtack out there. And Thumbtack is instant quotes making finding a plumber, home cleaner, or landscaper on the service much faster. Now, I do recommend you go and find local. But there are certain tasks and projects that you just can't find anybody for. And to put it out there, it's very helpful. This is by Fast Company, and it says, Thumbtack started 8 years ago with one goal in mind, to become an Amazon of sorts for home services like plumbers, home inspectors, and house cleaners. Today it moves a little bit closer to that goal with the launch of Instant Quotes on the service, which is a new feature that instantly connects customers with service providers who are available to work. When you think about it, there are very few things at this point you have to work hard to buy. The internet has made them dramatically more accessible and more convenient. And yet the entire local services category, not just plumbers, not just home services, remains an exception to that broad trend, said Thumbtack CEO Marco Zappacosta. He thinks that hiring someone to perform a service in your home should be as easy as ordering a book online. Over the last 8 years, we've made an immense amount of progress toward that dream. We now have 250,000 active paying customers on the platform across 1,000 different services. We've helped more than 25 million Americans find pros and have sent cumulatively billions of dollars to our pros from these customers. While Zappacosta feels like the company has made great strides towards its goal of becoming an Amazon of home services, he notes that the company still has a lot more to go. The reality is, if you sort of take me at my word and say we want to make hiring a plumber as easy as buying a book, we have not yet accomplished that. But today we're going to take a big step in that direction. The way things used to be working on Thumbtack, you would have a request for a plumber, for instance, would come and unclog your shower drain. Then request would be sent all over the available plumbers in your zip code, who would then respond to your request with their price quotes. You'd look through all those bids and then make your selection. That makes it dramatically easier than looking through a directory and calling all those plumbers one by one. But it also wasn't perfect. The reality is you still have to wait to get options, and nobody wants to wait. We all want things instantly. With the company's new instant quote feature, your wait time is cut down from hours to seconds. The process starts with Thumbtack app as a brief 5 to 15 question interview. If you're looking for a house cleaner, for instance, interview questions might entail asking how big your house home is, how many bedrooms need to be cleaned, and if you have pets. Once you've done answering questions, Thumbtack will instantly return a handful of automated quotes from professionals in your area it knows are available to do the job. You can look at all of them, read reviews, and decide which one best fits your needs. When you find a pro you like, you can message them within the app to set up an appointment. Really, what Thumbtack is doing is interviewing and sort of replacing the conversation that you've used to have with each and every individual pro to basically tell them, hey, here's what I have, can you do it? And if so, how much are you going to charge, says Zappacosta. So check it out. Many people don't even realize Thumbtack is out there, and I highly recommend it. I've used it a few times, and every time I've used it, I've been very successful in achieving what I need. It's been a pleasure to be with you. You've been listening to Tech Today on HuntChamberRadio.com. Do not fear technology. Use it. Understand it. Embrace it. That's the mission of Tech Today. Hopefully we've imparted that mission onto you. We'll talk to you next week.
Cathedrals and squares of your great cities. Poland lives, Poland prospers, and Poland prevails.
Earlier at a joint press conference with the Polish president, Trump stressed the need to protect Poland and all of Eastern Europe, also thanking Poland for paying its fair share towards NATO. Trump is lashing out, though, against former President Obama. At the morning news conference in Warsaw, he was asked about Russian interference in the U.S. presidential election and said Obama did nothing after learning about that possible Russian meddling. This is USA Radio News.
Staples knows that when the leave-behinds for your sales call get left behind at your office, it's time. When you need to print 30 pages and you're 300 miles from the office, it's time. And when the intern packed the Harrington file, not the Farrington file.
Ugh, my bad.
It's definitely time. And it's times like these when you can count on Staples. Access your files from email, the cloud, or USB, and then print, copy, fax, or scan them, and get back to business fast. Visit your nearby Staples. It's pro time.
I have to get to sleep.
Tom had a stressful day, and now he can't shut down at bedtime.
Need sleep.
To fall asleep fast, millions of people turn to Unisom sleep gels. They're non-habit-forming and quickly help you sleep soundly so you wake recharged. Tom? Unisom sleep gels. A stressful day deserves a restful night. Use as directed. Active ingredient diphenhydramine hydrofluoride.
Family, friends, and colleagues mourning the loss of an NYPD officer shot and killed early yesterday in the Bronx. Sarah Lee Kessler reports from New York City.
Miyasota's Familia, 48, a mother of three, a nurse before she became a cop, remembered at a vigil last night in the same Fordham Heights neighborhood where she was murdered in cold blood.
Beautiful person with everybody.
Familia was a 12-year veteran assigned to the 46th Precinct's Anti-Crime Unit. State Senator Marisol Alcantara knew her well.
She took care of her mother. Her mother is a cancer survivor.
and her mother is devastated.
Sarah Lee Kessler, NBC News Radio, New York.
Injured in a shooting at a ball field last month, doctors have now put Louisiana Congressman Steve Scalise back into an intensive care unit. Concerned about infection, the doctors at the Washington Hospital downgrading his condition from fair to serious. This is U.S.